Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're so glad you are tuning in and came on back.
Yes, we are. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to Facebook.com/The Music Row Show and chat alongside with us.
Yeah, and you can also find us on Twitter at The Music Row Show. And after the show, if you're wanting to see some pictures, you can go to Instagram also at The Music Row Show.
Because we're taking pictures.
We're taking pictures. We're picture-taking fools.
That's
even
right.
Even selfies. We're, yeah.
Right.
We finally got on that man. Now that it's going to go
now
away.
That it's uncool.
Yeah, now
we're,
that it's
we're
uncool,
all over
we're
it.
All over it. Yeah. So, all right, Scott, why don't you introduce our guest here this hour?
Absolutely. He is a founding member, a member of Government Cheese, one of Nashville's legendary post-punk rock bands. He's
nice.
A songwriter. He's an author, a blogger. He's the host of Tommy Womack's Friday Happiness Hour, heard every, oddly enough, Friday on East Nashville Radio.
Yeah.
At any time, he has, I think I did the counting, 16, 17 bands going at a time.
Yeah.
And Government Cheese has just released their first new album mm-hmm. of songs in 23 years titled The Late Show.
That's right.
I have never met Tommy. But having watched his YouTube vids for as long as I have and read his musings, I kind of feel like we're old friends. He's known as one of Nashville's best-loved musical eccentrics.
Yes.
And he's all ours for the next hour. It is a pleasure to say, Tommy Womack, we're glad you're here.
It's
welcome
to
the Music Row Show.
Yeah. Yay. Yay me.
Yay,
yay
you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Well, we gotta start with Government Cheese. How did you guys get together? How was that band formed and the initial fan reaction when you got out there and started playing?
We were four students. Originally it was a four piece. We've been a five piece for the last 20 odd years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all students at Western Kentucky University in Bowling Green.
Okay.
And I was the first one to graduate, and all I'd ever wanted to be in was a rock band. I didn't want to follow my degree path, you know.
Which was what?
Broadcasting.
Okay.
Which I did.
Yeah.
I actually did later on, but I just wanted to be in a band. So I graduated in December of 1984, and on New Year's Eve, I got a job at a Lee's Famous Recipe Fried Chicken, and Government Cheese played our first gig on January 25th, 1985 at a frat house, and we're still playing. We played last night in Bowling Green.
Yes, you did.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice. How about the name? How did you guys pick that?
We had a block of Government Cheese sitting on the counter in the kitchen where we rehearsed.
There you go.
And we were 4 or 5 hours away from the first gig, and we needed a name.
There you go.
It was down between Government Cheese, Wax Teddies, Baby Faye and the Heartless Baboons.
Wow.
And Government Cheese won out.
Yeah. I think you made the wise choice there.
Between those choices.
Between those three.
So what was the first song the band played at that first gig at the frat house?
The first song, I think the first song was I Will Follow by U2.
Okay. That's a good one.
And I think it devolved into a out-of-control jam and lasted maybe as much as 7 or 8 minutes, but it felt like 45 minutes to an hour.
To you or the listeners?
To everybody.
Everybody involved.
The first gig, we cleared the room in 5 minutes.
Wow.
It was
like our gigs. That's awesome, yeah.
you know, I knew a band in San Diego that if they were tired at the end of the night and if it was a light crowd, the singer would go, okay, boys, time to play the crowd. What do you call it? The crowd dispersing set. and everybody would leave within 5 minutes. And
what
the bar
would they
owner,
play?
Just the worst. And the bar owner would say, go ahead and pack it in for the night, boys. Okay. Well, we talk ad nauseum about country songwriting scene here in the 80s and 90s and now, of course. But can you share with our listeners what the Nashville rock scene was like in the 80s?
Oh, it was wonderful. There was something going on. First of all, you had Jason and the Nashville Scorchers who got a major label record deal. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, the word got out that there were all these bands in Nashville, and there was this scene. There were clubs like Cantrell's and Roosters, and the Exit Inn had gone from being a singer-songwriter club to a rock and roll club. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of other places, and there were certain bars like the Gold Rush where everybody hung out, and it just flowered. All of a sudden, all these bands, the record companies came from L.A. and New York, and they came to town, and they found all these bands, Royal Court of China, Walk the West, White Animals, Web Wilder, In Pursuit, The Questionnaires, and there's tons of others that I'm not thinking of right now, but the Dusters, the Boilers, Bill Lloyd and the December Boys, Factual, African Dreamland. It was just all over the place. And we lived in Bowling Green, Government Cheese did, and we would come down. We were managed, and we had a record company in Nashville, so we had business. We had reasons to come down here. Mm-hmm. And after our business was taken care of, we'd go down to the Rock Block, which was Church Street from about, 22nd Avenue up to where it linked up with West End there, the Elliston Place is
right.
What they call it.
Yeah.
And that was the Rock Block. And the Exit Inn was there. Elliston Square was across the street from the Exit Inn. There was Moscow Smoke Shop, and the Gold Rush, of course, where everybody hung out. And everybody was dressed to the nines. Everybody had their jet black out of a bottle hair. They had their sneer. Everybody reeked of clove cigarettes. Everybody was wearing Peter Buck ruffle shirts with a vest on and tight, you know, absolute skin tight, skinny black jeans, cowboy boots, with or without spurs. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Spurs. Yeah. Warner Hodges wore spurs. So other people did too, you know, and it was just so, it was so hipper than thou. And if you saw pictures of us now, looking back on it, saw pictures of everybody involved in the scene, you would smile. You wouldn't laugh at it necessarily, but it was, you would laugh at how deadly serious it was then. It was the coolest. I know Nashville's been a cool town for a long time with a lot of cool scenes in it, but this was the coolest. Everybody was just, had their rouge on and their mascara, and cool was just dripping off the walls. And it was rock and roll cool. It wasn't country cool. It wasn't rockabilly cool. It was rock and roll, like they had in the 80s. You know, a lot of hairspray, a lot of leather, limousines if you could afford one. There was a band called White Lace that used to go everywhere in limousines. There'd be a limousine double parked out front down on the Rock Block. It was just such an incredible scene. And factor in the fact that I was, I don't know, 23, 24, 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And cool mattered so much back
right.
then.
Yeah.
And when you bought a record and you listened to an artist, you listened to the artist all day long and into the evening with the headphones on at 3 a.m. in your apartment. It just mattered so frickin' much.
Yeah.
It was, it was life. It was everything. There were no mortgages. There were no kids. There were no wondering about taxes or fixing the washer dryer or anything. It was all rock and roll 24 hours a day. And from around 9 in the evening till 4 in the morning down on the Rock Block in Nashville, all that mattered was hearing great music, seeing great music, hanging out in the back of vehicles, tuning up, hanging out at the Gold Rush. It was youth. It was vibrant. It was such an alive scene. And life is great now for other reasons, but it was great then for those reasons.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that, you know, I really love that I know so many of the people from that scene still to this day. And now, you know, we're in our 50s and the guard is dropped and everybody's not trying to outcool each other all the time. And it's heartwarming. You know, there's something about this really heartwarming that I know so many of the people from that age better now than I knew them then.
Right.
Because sometimes you were afraid to approach them back then.
Yeah.
You know, because there was a whiff of danger in the air back then.
It's probably the Spurs, which yeah, I noticed you're still yeah, wearing.
Spurs.
You know.
Yeah, I've got the Spurs on the back of my Nikes now.
Yeah.
Rubber Spurs.
Rubber Spurs.
So with all that going on, how tough was it to recruit actual good musicians and band members for rock bands? I mean, separating the posers from the actual...
Well,
musicians.
In some of the bands, sometimes the posers weren't separated from the musicians. Okay. There were the quality, like in any scene, the quality varied from act to act. But there was so much what was true about Nashville now was true then, was true in the 60s. There were so many musicians that could play their butts off. In every facet, every format of music. And that was the time in the 80s for the rock and roll musicians who had come of age listening to everything from Johnny Cash to the Sex Pistols. You had guys like Doug Lancio, who was the Questionnaire's guitar player. And he was incredible then. He wasn't out of his teens. I think Doug was like 18 or 19 when I met him playing in the Questionnaires. Well, he's gone on to play. He plays for John Hyatt now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's played for Patty Griffin. He's played for, goodness knows, Todd Snyder, Nancy Griffith, so that's one, Doug Lancio. Let me think if I can think of another one. Chris Feinstein was a bass player, and he was in his teens. And he went on to play with Ryan Adams. That was his last act. Chris is no longer with us. There's several people from that crowd who are no longer with us. Paul Kirby of Walk the West is no longer with us. And the musicianship, when you came to play in Nashville, and I knew this from being in Government Cheese, and we were actually in Bowling Green based, we were sort of a redheaded stepchild coming down here to play. We weren't a Nashville act, even though we were managed here, and, you know, we played here a lot. We were a Kentucky band. And so when we came down here to play at the Exit Inn or the Music Row Showcase or Sal's or Elliston Square, or the Cannery, or on the KDF Riverboat.
Oh yeah,
you change your guitar strings and you got in tune and you looked your sharpest to play in Nashville. It was important.
Wow. Let's take a quick break. Before we do, we need to let our listeners know this segment was brought to you by our good friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That's so true. Now, Scott and I and our my wife, anyway, we all drive Toyotas. We love those vehicles. But more importantly, we love that dealership, Toyota of Cool Springs. They're just such a great place to go to get your car serviced or even to buy a car because they're so low-key. And they just really go out of their way to create a good customer experience for folks.
Absolutely. And let's just – their service department is out of this world. They really, really do a great job. The last time I went in there, I can't even really tell the whole story, but they fixed what needed to be fixed and the bill – I'm just going to say it. The bill was nothing.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? And they go, well, it only took us a minute or two.
Yeah, what dealer does that?
What dealer does that?
An honest one. Yeah.
I said, "Are you kidding me?" And they, and normally they say, "Well, we had to move the motor mounts," and they took care of it. So it was very cool. We love those guys. What's our website?
They're at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. Go check them out. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with more of Tommy Carruthers here on the Music Row Show.
Nope, Tommy Womack.
Tommy Womack. What am I saying? on the Music Row Show.
He lives on Carruthers.
Who lives on Carruthers?
to London, I've been to Rome, played my shows and come back home. The golden goose ain't landed yet, this is as good as it's gonna get. iPod's playing an old cheap trick, my oh my, you've grown up quick. Trying to keep this kitchen clean, that's all real life really means. Another dollar, another day, I shouldn't.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's our guest, Tommy Womack. That's the song called Play That Cheap Trick, Cheap Trick Play. That's also a tongue twister, which is kind of cool. Say that five times fast. That's off his project called Now What? It looks like that right there.
Now, you can buy your music where, Tommy?
You can get it on iTunes. You can get the new Government Cheese record at govtcheese.com. You know the abbreviation of government, followed by a cheese. Yeah. govtcheese.com. And that's actually the brand new record is The Late Show by Government Cheese. That one right there, Now What, is my most recent solo record from 2012, I think.
Yep, 12.
These days you make a solo record every 5 years or so. It used to be, you know, more regular than that, more, you know, one every year or so. Maybe some people still make one record a year, but I don't know. For me, it seems to work to make one no more often than people want them.
Well, then I'd never make one.
Yeah. So many of our listeners are in the might be in the process of starting a band. Did you see how I didn't take advantage of that softball you just threw?
Yeah, I threw it out
I'm
there
in a,
for
I'm
you.
I'm in a good mood.
Nothing,
I decided not to take it. But many of our listeners might be in the process of starting a band or trying to keep a band together. What are some tips for just keeping a group of guys together for more than a couple months? Because, I mean, you were talking about all those bands in the 80s. You probably saw people come and go and, membership changes. But you guys have kept something pretty solid going.
Well, be nice to each other. Have respect for each other. At the end of the day, nobody makes a lot of money. I mean, you know, okay, U2 does, the Stones do, but, you know, that's one out of a billion. What matters is if you get to make some good music together and have a good time. If you're having fun doing it, then keep doing it. If it's not fun, then you better be making some money. If it's not fun, you better have some good reason for doing it.
Right.
With the Cheese now, we get along. We like each other. We're all good to each other. We like each other a lot more now than we did, say, in like 1988 when we were doing 200 dates a year on the road and riding in a van together.
Yeah.
We like each other a great deal more now than we did then.
Huh.
And I am just so grateful that, you know, after 30 years, Government Cheese is still together and still doing things, and we still get to get up on stage and crank up the amps and play the electric guitar. I mean, I play, like, I'm cradling this acoustic guitar right now. I play a lot of solo shows that are just solo acoustic shows, me going from coffee house to coffee house and playing nice, mellow solo stuff. So, yeah, and that's nice. I like that. But, you know, when you get to take the Telecaster and plug it into the Marshall and turn it up, that's some, you know, that's irreplaceable.
That's a whole different.
Yeah, that's a whole different ball game.
When you can actually feel it when you
strum
when a
you
chord.
Feel it in your chest. Yeah,
that's awesome. So then you don't really term your new album as a reunion so much because you've kind of been together this whole time.
Yeah, well, we broke up. We were together from 1985 to 1992, and then we broke up. And I moved to Nashville and started a new life. I got a new band called The Biscuits, and The Biscuits lasted 2 years. And then they broke up, and it wasn't long after that, around 1995 or so, that the first reunion gig for Government Cheese happened. I think we got called by somebody who wanted a benefit done for some purpose. We've done a lot of benefits in our time. And so everybody kind of talked on the phone and said, should we do this? Will anybody show up? Are going to make fools of ourselves, or is this going to be fun? And we, you know, and when you come up with those questions, when you have, the question to be answered, are we going to get back together and do anything? Well, you don't know if anybody's going to show up. You don't know if it's going to be fun or if it's going to bomb. The only way you can approach it is just to jump into the pool. And we did. And we decided if we were going to play one benefit show in Nashville, then let's go ahead and play Bowling Green too. So we played a show in Bowling Green the week before, and it sold out, and the bar ran out of beer, and it was an incredible time. And then we came down to Nashville and played at the Ace of Clubs for this benefit, and it sold out and was a righteous time. And then about a year after that, in 95 or 96, I put out a book called Cheese Chronicles, The government cheese story. And that's the thing that kind of made me a minor celebrity in town for real when that book came out. We did a tour. The band actually went on the road for 5 or 6 dates. The only rock band I've ever known to do a tour in support of a book.
That's awesome.
And we made a vinyl reunion single. And so we played then. And ever since then, every... I don't know if we went a whole year ever without getting together to play a benefit for someone's health bills, or somebody offered us an insane amount of money to play New Year's Eve somewhere, or we got offered a festival date, or this or that. There was one thing after another that kept us getting back together to the point where we realized we're not broke up anymore. We just have wives and kids and jobs in different towns, and we get together when we can. And in the fall of 2013, I remember I was driving to a gig in Georgia somewhere, and I called up Scott Willis, our lead singer, and he called me back, and I remember driving and saying, "Hey, Scott, how about we get together and write some new government cheese songs?" And he took the bait right away. He said, "Yeah, let's do that." You know, because we hadn't actually made any new material in all this time. Our last record came out in 1992, except for that one vinyl single. And that was old material. So starting in the fall of 2013 through the fall of last year, 2014, we got together. We set up a Dropbox on the internet so we could all put our song ideas into it. And then we started to get together and rehearse. And we got together with, we hired Brad Jones and Barry Hill to produce the record for us. And that was an inspired choice. He really got stuff out of Government Cheese that we couldn't believe was there. And
in what way? I love hearing about how different producers getting stuff out of you.
Well, what Government Cheese would do, this is what we would do with a song. That's what Government Cheese would do, and Brad would say, "Hey, how about you go..." You know, just those little things. And if you make 4 other guys do those little differences too, it's called an arrangement, which Government Cheese was never that great at. We were always just, and we are this way live too, we just turn it up to 10 and go.
Yeah.
And there's none of this mealy-mouthed music row, "Oh, play listening to the other guys, play for the song," you know, none of this. We're loud as hell all the time. And Brad sort of molded that, rounded our edges a bit. He came up with harmonies for us to sing, which was another new thing for us. And it just, you know, that's what a producer does. He takes your song ideas and, as often as not, the producer should get a songwriting credit, because what he does is rewrites the songs. He takes this part of the song, moves it over there. He takes the bridge and moves it over here. He takes what was a bridge and says, "You should make that the chorus. Your chorus is weak, but the bridge is better. Make the bridge the chorus and do that." And you go, okay. If you're smart, you go, okay, because the producer, more often than not, knows best if you hired a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did that for us, and we put out an 11-song brand-new record called The Late Show, and it came out April 1st, and we did two record store in-stores in one day. We did Grimey's March 28th. We did Mellow Mats in Bowling Green earlier that same day. We played in Bowling Green last night, and we will be playing the Mercy Lounge in Nashville Friday, May 15th. We'll be in Lexington, Kentucky at Cosmic Charlie's Saturday, May 16th. And then Wednesday, June 10th, we will be on the Music City Roots show.
Oh, nice. Great.
Yeah.
What day was that again?
June 10th. It's going to be rock and roll night, and it's sort of a tribute to that whole rock block scene that I was describing earlier.
Yeah.
Warner Hodges from Jason and the Scorchers has a new solo record out, and he's going to be playing on the show. Webb Wilder is going to be there. Government Cheese, and there's a fourth act, but I can't remember who it is if I ever knew. But that's on the Music City Roots show Wednesday the 10th of June. And I think that's all the dates we have on the calendar right now. There might be a festival date in Kentucky in September that there's talk of, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, we'd love to get a song out of you here before we have to go to another break. You feel like playing one for us?
Sure. Let's do a Government Cheese song since I've just been talking about them. At the PepsiCo. Now I'm on my knees behind the 31W Texaco. I drank enough tequila tonight to be declared a citizen of Mexico. And I'm asking you, baby, please, please, baby, won't you please? Won't you come on back to Bowling Green and marry me? Mama's on drugs and I need somebody here to take care of me. Between Picasso's and the pub and the store and the club, they're gonna bury me. So won't you leave that New York City behind? Come on back and be the baby of mine. Come on back to Bowling Green and marry me. Well, I know you got a great big part on that soap opera. I know you got enough money now to support me and a family. Well, I know your career is important to you, but my liver is precious to me. Well, I'm asking you, baby, please, please, baby, won't you please? Won't you come on back to Bowling Green and marry me? Mama's on drugs and I need somebody here to take care of me. Between Picasso's and the pub and the store and the club, they're gonna bury me. So won't you leave that New York City behind? Come on back and be the baby of mine. Come on back to Bowling Green and marry me.
Yeah. That's romantic. That is very sweet and romantic.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Tommy Womack here on the Music Row Show.
Politics bore me, let's not bring it up at all. Politics for me, let's not bring it up at all. You're either preaching to the choir or talking to the wall.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. I love that line. That's a song called Guilty Snake Blues. That's by our guest here this hour, Tommy Womack. We're talking about Government Cheese and all kinds of other great things, and that's actually off of his Now What CD, which is great. Go to TommyWomack.com.
TommyWomack.com.
You can buy it there. A lot of your songs, I found a lot of your songs. Of course, you do have a lot of relationship songs, but a lot of them are kind of really pretty unique and outside the usual love song thing, like 90 miles an hour down a street comes to mind. Down a dead end street. Yeah,
they're all pretty autobiographical, and I've wanted to write love songs. I wished I could. I really want to write one for my wife. She deserves one, but I don't know how to do that very well. But I can write about washing dishes, and I can write about driving drunk in Indiana at 2 a.m. That comes easy. But the I Love You Baby songs, which I wish I could write them. You know, that's where the money is. But that's just never been my thing.
Huh.
What you are, but, and Hino, you just brought it up there. You're either preaching to the choir or talking to a wall or an alpha male in the canine mystery blood. Which is another song, eight and a half minute song.
8.5 minutes.
That's impressive.
That's the radio edit, right?
That's the radio edit. Yeah. But you have a great line in there. You can't be a has-been if you never was. And you're great with these little lines that I'll go, man, that right there is, you could build a whole song just around that line. So, I mean, talk about when you're writing, Are you looking for those, or is it just kind of a stream of consciousness?
It's when you find one of them. It's when one of those lines come to you and you go, oh, that's a good one. And it's so good that you got to write it down. You got to pull over to the side of the road and get a pen. I carry a pen in the car all the time, and usually I have paper. You would think if I had one, I'd have the other, but it's not always the case.
Yeah.
But when you get one of those lines that you just have to pull over to the side of the road and write it down, that's where the song is born for me. And you take that, and sometimes that's the first line in the song that gets everybody's attention and gets you rolling. Sometimes it winds up in the middle of the song. It's wherever it fits. But that's the first thing that you sort of build the rest of the song around. You know, 'cause when you got one or two good lines like that, then they sort of you lay that down on the page, and it sort of tells you, well, what the next line should be that follows that,
right.
And then you try to make that line as good as the one that inspired it, and you go on and on and on. And yeah, I try to get as many good lines into a song as I can.
So I have to ask before we, with Alpha Male and the Canine Mystery Blood, were you actually purposely going for an 8.5 minute song?
No. No. What happened was, and I'll do that song if you want.
We're out of time.
We're out of time.
What happened was, I was at a bar watching a friend's band play, and I got seized with this desire to write. I didn't, you know, and this was one of those cases where I didn't have a line. I just was seized. I had, you know, I had something that had to get out, and I didn't have a paper or pen. And I asked the bartender, do you have a pen and some paper? He said, well, I have a pen. So he gave me his pen and I said, you don't have any paper. He said, no. I said, well, why don't you spit some of that cash register ribbon out? And he looked at me funny, but he did it. He spit me out about enough, you know, to write a post-it note. I said, no. Spit me out a lot of it. And he, you know, by this time he's trying to serve other people's drinks, and right. I'm being an idiot. And he's like saying, but he did it. He spit me out a little more register ribbon. And I said, could I get some more? And this song, by the time it was done, I have the cash register ribbon at home in my drawer. It's 11 feet,
oh,
6
my.
Inches of cash register ribbon.
Wow.
Front and back.
Oh!
You write in real big font, don't you?
Wow.
That's
awesome.
That's impressive.
That is.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get one more song from Tommy Womack. You're listening to the Music Row Show. We'll be right back.
You still got what it takes to turn my head. I guess my heart was only playing dead. I'd like to reach across the years and make it up somehow, but I'm too old to feel that way right now.
Aww. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's our guest here this hour, Tommy Womack, and that's a tune of his called Too Old to Feel That Way Right Now. Wow, very sorry about that.
Yeah, that's one of those tunes that is not a hit. That's one of those songs I like. Usually what I like about a song is what it kills it so far as a song plugger is thinking or record company guy. That's what I like about a song.
Yeah.
Is the thing that, you know, I'm too old to feel that way right now. It's instantly depressing. It's instantly pathetic. And it's instantly not what's going to make it Luke Bryan's next smash.
Right. Tim McGraw doesn't want to sing about how he's getting too old to feel anything.
Yeah. But to me, that's what makes it interesting. And that's why I am not in a big building on Music Row making decisions.
There you go.
That's why I am not that guy.
But you are in our studio with the guitar.
I am in your studio for the greatest radio station ever. This one and WLS and a few others. I am sitting in WSM Studios with my guitar, so I guess I've made it.
It would be even better if you played that guitar and gave us one more song.
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
Sure. It's been a nice day. We all went swimming, me and my sweetheart and our boy. It's been a nice day, we had a good time. The sun was shining and life was joy. It was at a friend's house we got invited. We can't afford a swimming pool ourselves. Our beds are unmade, our bills are half paid, but we got beans up on the shelves. I'm 43 now, my hair is going. I got a shaky sense of self-esteem. But in that water, that smile on my boy's face, for a moment life was not a bad dream. It's been a nice day. We all went swimming. I love you, Daddy. He said that twice. Nothing got broken. No one got sunburned. I never freaked out. It was nice. I worry often. I live in terror of what life might have in store. I've got this vision working at MAPCO, making change when I'm 64. I'll be an old man. I'll have had a good time. I'll have, God willing, my boy and my girl. And then I'll die and go to God's house singing, take me from this world. It's been a nice day. We all went swimming, me and my sweetheart and our boy.
Very Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, I have to ask about something that you did, a project you did called Alphabetical Kinks.
Mm-hmm.
With, I believe you did that with Will?
With Bill Lloyd.
Or Bill Lloyd.
Foster and Lloyd.
Oh, wow, okay.
The Alphabetical Kinks.
Yeah.
We did, we wanted to do a Kinks tribute band, and when I put up a playlist in iTunes of all the tunes we ought to do.
Yeah.
And I clicked on title, on the title bar.
Right.
Above, and it alphabetized everything.
Right.
Which turned out to be a great set list because it starts with All Day and All the Night and
yeah.
ends with You Really Got Me.
Perfect.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
So that was the Alphabetical Kinks. We haven't played a gig in a while, but we did settle.
Okay.
It's a fun band. Kinks songs are hard to sing.
Are they?
Boy, yeah. Ray Davies, he's as tough as Beatles songs are to sing. Kinks songs are the same way. They climb. The melodies climb way up.
I'll be darned. Huh. Well, you have really stayed on top of technology and have really mm-hmm. used social media more than I think a lot of us musicians think to. Are there positives or negatives, or do you find yourself getting caught up in it sometimes? Or you just use it as a tool?
When I use it as a tool, I enjoy it. I am a class clown on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I try to say something every day or every other day. It's not necessarily funny all the time. Sometimes it's serious, but I like to just put out a witticism, shall we say, and stick it out there. And it's a practical way for me to feed my need for attention and just keep my name out there a little bit. Now, I have a personal page on Facebook, and I have a fan page, an mm-hmm. artist page.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, I don't mess with my artist page much. I don't know why. I should be messing with it more than the personal page.
Right.
should be on it all day, every day. And for some reason, I just get a mental block about going on that page. I'll put something on my personal page and then share it to my artist page right away. But every now and then, I have to force myself to remember to go to the artist page and answer the messages and stuff. I don't know why that is. I'm in several bands that all have artist pages on Facebook. Government Cheese has one. A band I have with Will Kimbrough called Daddy mm-hmm. has an artist page on Facebook. And I have an artist page on Facebook. And most of those bands have websites, too. There's govtcheese.com. There's tommywomack.com. It's a lot to keep up with. So I don't try to do too much. I just get in there on Facebook and say something funny and then, or maybe politically provocative.
Ooh.
Every now and then
Ooh.
I do that. Mm-hmm. And somebody wrote me a message saying, "You are the master, man. You send something out there that's provocative or whatever, and then everybody starts commenting, and it turns into a fight. And you don't get involved in it. You just mm-hmm. let them fight. And how do you resist getting involved with it? And the thing is that I'll put something up there on the net, on my page or whatever, and then I don't look at it.
Right. That's how you resist.
I let other people can have an argument about Hillary Clinton or whatever. I'm not reading it. I've gone on to do something else with my day.
That's right. But you went also, swimming with your son.
I went swimming with my son. Yeah, I mean that's just social media can be your friend. You got to be careful not to show your booty. Don't get in arguments with people. Don't put people down. Every now and then I'll say something that just goes too far.
Mm-hmm.
And after 15 minutes or an hour, I'll wind up taking it down. You know, every now and then I'll complain about something personal. I'm mad at something or somebody and it just doesn't look good after a few minutes. And I have to realize, so I make mistakes, but I generally, erase them.
Let's keep an eye on it tomorrow and see if he's complaining about those two idiots he had to spend an hour with last night.
We'll have to screen capture it so that, you know, in case he takes it down, we still got proof.
Right. Yeah. Right. This has been a real pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Well, it's been a pleasure for me, too. It's been great talking with you guys.
Yeah. Appreciate the music. And again, TommyWomack.com. You're in St. Louis Wednesday.
Wednesday at the Songbird Cafe with Marshall Chapman.
That's going to be great.
And if you're here in town, coming up here in a couple of weeks, on May 15th at the Mercy Lounge.
Mercy Lounge with Government Cheese.
That'll be a great show.
Yeah. We need to try to come with Lisa Oliver Gray opening up.
Really?
Yeah. All right, my favorite voice in Nashville.
And we need to give a shout out to our pal Joe King, Joe Elvis. King.
Joe Elvis King.
He's been a buddy of ours for a long time, the drummer of Government Cheese.
And he's the weatherman on RFD TV
on their morning daily reporter.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again. TommyWomack.com.
Go check that website out.
When you're done with that, go to themusicroadshow.com. And you can find us, of course, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all those great places. And until we meet again next week, go write a song or something.